10 a.m. W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Michigan beat Washington 34-13 for the national college football title. The Wolverines undeterred by suspensions and a sign-stealing case. Alaska Airlines and United say they found loose hardware in some side panels in the same model of Boeing 737 jetliner grounded. The Pentagon's ordered a review on the failure to tell the White House and Congress that the defense secretary transferred his authority to a deputy. Secretary Lloyd Austin went to the hospital and is still there a week later. White House National Security spokesman John Kirby.
We'll take a look at process and procedure here and try to learn from this experience, and if there's some changes that need to be made in terms of process and procedure, we'll do that.
A Fort Worth, Texas hotel explosion. About 20 people hurt. Gas leak suspected. Blocks away, David Brimer.
I was laying in bed watching Sopranos, and then the wall shook, and then my bed shook strong.
This is ABC News. Big changes at the Golden Globe Awards this year came with a bigger audience for the start of Hollywood's award season.
Maybe it was Taylor Swift's presence or popular films like Oppenheimer and Barbie winning big awards, or host Joe Coy's controversial jokes. Whatever the case, the Golden Globe saw a sizable bump in viewers this year. 9.4 million people checked out the first award show of the season, the telecast on CBS up 50% from last year's show on NBC. One thing the show did have on CBS that it didn't have on NBC, a strong lead-in from daytime football games. Overall, though, like all award shows, the Globe's ratings are still down. At its peak 20 years ago, almost 27 million were watching. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Paris has honored the late British music icon David Bowie by naming a street after him. A tribute on Rue David Bowie was held today, what would have been his 77th birthday. The event celebrated Bowie's first Paris performance in 1965 and his lasting impact on music, fashion, and culture. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Her name is Pam Jahnke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Jahnke on the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Much of Wisconsin is under a winter storm watch. The heaviest snow is expected in the south and east from the Illinois border to Door County. Places like Milwaukee and Madison might get as much as 11 inches of snow. Green Bay could get a foot. Forecasters say it will be windy, too. Wisconsin Republicans introduced their bill to legalize medical marijuana on Monday. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells WISN-TV's Up Front he doesn't want to go down the path to legalizing recreational pot.
We have way too many drugs. We just went through a huge opioid crisis. The last thing that we need is marijuana shops on every street corner of every small town in Wisconsin, like we're seeing in Michigan and Illinois. They're not good.
Governor Evers says he would sign a medical marijuana bill into law. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Packers are going to the playoffs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers held on to beat the Chicago Bears at Lambeau Field. The final score, 17-9. Up next, the wild card playoffs. Sunday in Dallas against the Cowboys. Kickoff at 3:30. Not a lot of touchdowns, but a lot of offensive production. Jordan Love passing for over 300 yards and two TDs. Running back Aaron Jones rushed for 111 yards. I asked him, how at age 29 is he playing so well? Is it the offensive line, the play calling, or his experience?
I think it's a little bit of all, you know, like you said, the experience, you've seen certain looks, like you kind of know what to expect when they're shifted certain ways or play calling does come into effect, and then just communication.
The Bears had to settle for just 3 field goals, the Packers defense sacking Bears quarterback Justin Fields 5 times, linebacker Preston Smith.
Man, all the interior guys were getting a lot of sacks, and man, it was getting after the quarterback. We didn't let him get comfortable back then. We came together as a team. We played pretty great on defense.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight with some areas of flurries at times and lows in the low 20s. For tomorrow, snow showers and breezy. Gusts 20 to 30 miles an hour, a little open area blowing snow, highs in the low 30s. Snow showers wrap up tomorrow night. It's 28 degrees right now.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you for tuning in to Matt Flynn Direct. Matt is spending a little extra time with family, but will be back live tomorrow, January 9th. In this segment, Matt talks about the Wisconsin Supreme Court case overturning the gerrymandered maps. Thank you for listening.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it made over this long weekend. Hope everybody had a great Christmas. It's a great weekend. But I'll tell you what, history doesn't stay still. History is created every second of every day, holidays, work days, when you're asleep or awake. That's what we're going to talk about right now. Just as we were going off the air on Friday, the news came down that the Wisconsin Supreme Court had issued a decision on the gerrymandered maps, ordering them redone. Initially by the state legislature, but then they have to be signed by Tony Evers, separation of powers, legislature, executive. And if Evers vetoes them and they can't resolve it between Evers and the legislature, the Supreme Court will appoint, in my judgment, they will likely appoint special masters, come up with the maps themselves. Now, it was announced over the weekend, Voss and the Republicans intend to, quote, they say, appeal it, end quote, to the U.S. Supreme Court. I want to unpack that. This is a very, very important, very, very important issue. We've been talking about the rig maps. We've been talking about gerrymandering and redistricting a lot in the last few years, and it's really come down to it. Here's the deal. They don't get to, quote, appeal, end quote, it to the U.S. Supreme Court. They get to file what's called a petition for certiorari, C-E-R-T-I-O-R-A-R-I. It's an old Latin word, to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court decides whether or not it'll accept it. There are 9 justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. There's 7 on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Of the 9 justices on the U.S. Supreme Court, it takes 5 of them to decide a case, but it only takes 4 of them to decide to take a case. So when the Republicans file this writ of certiorari, they're hoping that 4 of the 9 will agree to hear it, and that requires all of them to hear it. Now, there are 6 tarantulas. 3 of them are in the hip pocket of the Republican Party, Clarence Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch. And they're hoping they can pick up Amy Coney Barrett, pick up Kavanaugh, or pick up Roberts. Now, in my judgment, it is less likely that they'll do that. More likely than not that they will not take the case. And why do I say that? Because the lawyers and the justices who were involved in this, the lawyers who brought the case, the justices who took the case, were very smart in how they did it. They confined the issues to state constitution issues. The rule of thumb is that the U.S. Supreme Court is not supposed to take any case that only involves state law. And the reason for that is the states know best. The states decide what the law is. And if the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't like it, too bad, so sad, unless it also violates a federal law. So anytime you want to avoid Supreme Court review, you try to construct your cases only involving state law. So how did they do it? How did they do it in this case? Well, first of all, in the Wisconsin Constitution, but not the U.S. Constitution, it says that the districts have to be contiguous. That means they have to touch. And a big number, a large number of the state Senate districts in the state and the state assembly districts are not contiguous. For instance, you may have, if you're a representative or senator, a chunk of votes, and then you have to go a couple of miles to the next part of your district because they gerrymandered it. I think, but I am not certain, but they'll know better in Dane County than I do, that the individual who represents Fitchburg has parts of his district that are not, has parts of his district that are not contiguous, so he has to go beyond his district to get to the rest of his district. That is forbidden under the Wisconsin Constitution. That's none of the U.S. Supreme Court's business. So in the first instance, what the judges said is the districts have to be contiguous. Legislature, go ahead, redraft the maps with contiguous districts. Number two, the other issue they took up was the issue of separation of powers, executive, judicial, legislative. What the Republicans did, the sneaky thing they did when the Republican Supreme Court, Republican majority a couple of years ago, ruled that the maps, the rigged, gerrymandered maps, were okay, was by saying, first of all, that contiguous doesn't mean what you think it means. It doesn't mean touching. It means whatever the legislature says it means. Not only are they not literalists of interpreting the Constitution, they're not even honest about reading plain English. Contiguous means they have to touch, they have to be joined. The second thing they said was that the governor, in this case Evers, does not get a shot at vetoing it or commenting on it, and the Supreme Court is the one that is the ultimate arbiter, and that carves out the executive, which is contrary to the Wisconsin Constitution. So when the Republicans bring this up on a writ of certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court, they've got to somehow show that there's a federal issue here. Well, there is no federal issue here. The only issue is the Wisconsin Constitution. So I think that even Clarence Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch are going to have a very hard time ginning up some fake theory to take it. And if they do take it, if four of them say go ahead and take it, the three Democrats, and I think Roberts and either Amy Coney Barrett or Kavanaugh, will gag and they'll say, look, yes, we're tarantulas. We're one of the six tarantulas. Yes, we do everything we can to advance the Republican Party, but we got to do it smart. And this is a dumb thing to do, to say that we're going to find a federal issue in what's contiguous. So that's where you have it. Now, there's a very, very short timeline here. And the people that brought this suit had asked the Wisconsin Supreme Court to handle other issues as well. But this Supreme Court is very, very smart. And they said, no, we're only going to take two issues. We're going to take the contiguity of the districts and we're going to take separation of powers, limiting it to the Wisconsin Constitution. Now, they've given a very, very short period of time for the state legislature to come up with new maps. And let me tell you something. You'd think that that's going to take a lot of time. It's not going to take a lot of time. There are more maps floating out around there than you can shake a stick at, and there's tons of them that are contiguous. Every expert in the state has weighed in on this, every expert. So they simply pick one. Now, you know that the Republican legislature, the caucus, rigged and gerrymandered is as crooked as a dog's hind leg. You know that. I know that. So they may make them, quote, contiguous, end quote, but still keep up the scam, still keep up the gerrymander. And everybody expects that. That will then go to Evers. Evers will veto it. They should have a conciliation conference, but they're not going to, in my judgment. I don't think Voss is going to sit down with Evers' chief of staff or somebody and try to hammer this thing out. If they are unable to agree on maps, after Evers has a chance to veto it, the Wisconsin Supreme Court will take jurisdiction, in my opinion, and issue their own maps. And they're going to be fair maps. They will retain experts. They can call them special masters. They can call them referees, umpires. They can call them anything they want. But there will be special masters who are experts in statistics, in political science, and their only job will be to make sure that there are 99 assembly districts and 33 state senate districts that are A, contiguous. And the other requirement in the Wisconsin Constitution is that they, as much as possible, keep communities together. Right now, Sheboygan and Greene counties are split seven ways from Sunday. This is an absolutely gerrymandered state. They're not contiguous, but even if they were, there's plenty of ways to keep splitting communities. Well, the idea is this. Look, once you have some fair people who are experts look at it and put these maps together, and they're contiguous and they keep communities of interest together, the theory is, and the fact is, that they will be much fairer than they are now. Now, are they going to result in Democratic majority? No, they're not. Are they going to result in, they might, but they probably won't. Are they going to result in Republican majorities? No, they're not. That's not what they're intended to do. Could they? It depends on the national trends. They could and they could not. But there's two things that you can be assured of. One is, it's going to be a lot closer than it is now. You're not going to have the Republicans have two-thirds of everything when they don't even get half of the vote statewide. And the second thing is that you're going to find is that you're going to have a much higher quality legislator in both parties. If you are running in a primary and it's a 51-49 district, I don't care if it's Democratic or Republican, you are going to attract a different quality of candidate. You know, a little sharper knife in the drawer, a little brighter bulb on the tree, and somebody who is going to appeal to, in effect, the center. It could be center right, it could be center left, but you're not going to have these bat feathers crazies that you have in the Republican caucus. And frankly, you know, you have a handful, certainly do in the U.S. Congress and the Democratic caucus. You're going to have people like they used to have when I started out in politics in the 1970s and 1980s. We're statesmen and women. They will do what's best for the country. Right now, as a result of the Republicans, we have forever chemicals in our drinking water, and our state university system and public education keeps getting dragged down, keeps getting underfunded and attacked all the time. Our democracy is attacked, and you will avoid that with much better legislators. So that is the status of this so-called appeal. And bring it on. But this Wisconsin Supreme Court is really keeping their nose to the grindstone. And I'm very, very glad to see that.
Tongue liar, go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZ.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you for listening to Matt Flynn Direct. In this segment, Matt talks about criticism for Donald Trump coming out of the Republican Party.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, two things. I'm going to read you. It's unbelievable what a former, very senior Trump administration official has said about Donald Trump. And then try to guess who said it, because that has not been disclosed. I have an idea, largely because I know the individual. I have an idea. But here's what he said. Now, first of all, you may say, come on, man. I mean, look, what are there, like 30 people in his administration who come out and denounced him? What's, you know, the big news about that? Well, this is a little different. This is a direct quotation from an individual who is described, and this is Carl. I think it's Jonathan Carl, the guy in ABC News, wrote a book, and he's protecting the source. I think I know the source. But here is what a very senior official in the Trump administration said about Donald Trump. And this goes beyond anything I've seen from anyone else. And he said, quote, "Trump lacks any shred of human decency, humility, or caring. He is morally bankrupt, breathtakingly dishonest, lethally incompetent, and stunningly ignorant of virtually anything related to governing, history, geography, human events, or world affairs. He is a traitor and a malignancy in our nation and represents a clear and present danger to our democracy and to the rule of law." Now, I have heard criticisms of Trump from people close to him, people who work for him, people in his administration. But this is breathtakingly to the heart, a dagger to the heart. I'm going to read it one more time, and then I'm going to tell you who I think said it. If you have a different idea, you can let me know. This person, Jonathan Carl, has said, is a very senior Trump official. And he said, quote, about Trump, "Trump lacks any shred of human decency, humility, or caring. He is morally bankrupt, breathtakingly dishonest, lethally incompetent, and stunningly ignorant of virtually anything related to governing, history, geography, human events. He's a traitor, or world affairs. He's a traitor and a malignancy in our nation and represents a clear and present danger to our democracy and to our rule of law." Now, there's a lot of people you might think are very senior government officials. John Kelly was chief of staff. Jim Mattis was secretary of defense. He had several, the fellow from Alabama, who is his attorney general, several secretaries of state, and so forth. I am fairly convinced that that was said by John Bolton, his security guy and United Nations guy, for a couple of reasons. First of all, I knew John Bolton in college. He was a year behind me. and we were both involved in a thing called the Connecticut Intercollegiate Student Legislature. I was the state chairman. He was the chairman of the Yale delegation. And I, you know, worked with him a fair amount. And he was, frankly, as strange then as he is now. He was conservative. He didn't have that sort of walrusy mustache. Very, very serious. Always dressed like at least in a sport jacket, that kind of thing. But the use of all these adverbs, I mean, I do not think Jim Mattis, John Kelly, any of these other characters or clowns, some of them, Kelly and Mattis were terrific, but some of them were bad news, would speak this way in all the adverbs: breathtakingly dishonest, lethally incompetent, stunningly ignorant of virtually anything. It's spoken as if, and this is an interview with Jonathan Carl, so it's spoken the way most people would write something after they thought about it for a while. And that has John Bolton's name all over it. That's the way the guy was. So, you know, when you have a national security advisor, a UN guy in your administration advising you on foreign policy, saying what I just read, that is, to use his words, stunningly and breathtakingly serious, and we've got to take it seriously. Now, that wasn't the only disclosure in Jonathan Carl's book that's come out. Crooked Mike Pompeo, remember Mike Pompeo? He was Secretary of State as well, too, for a while. Mike Pompeo, and he briefly declared, you may not remember this, ran for president this time around, early on, a year ago. He threw his hat in the ring, name in the ring, and he polled under 1%, like 0.5% or something. He knew he wasn't going anywhere. And I never trusted the guy. But in it, they disclosed that he had considered assembling some of the cabinet under Article 25 of the Constitution. Now, that part, everyone knew that some people had been thinking about it. But this book by Carl puts a little flesh on the skeleton. And I think they were more than thinking about it. Under that provision, and that's a constitutional amendment that was added fairly late in the game, what happens if a president is disabled? I mean, let's say it becomes apparent that he has Alzheimer's. Trump has early onset dementia, and yet, you know, he's somehow registering the polls. Joe Biden stuttered as a kid, but he's sharp as a tack. He really is, and he is in great physical shape. But the feeling was that Trump was not capable of discharging the presidency, even though he was elected, because of the extreme things he said, his confusion, his refusal to have anything to do with any of the facts, with any of the briefings that he got, anything. Now, it's one thing if a president, say, is injured in an accident and he's unconscious, or the 25 comes in. It's another thing to say that, say he has a heart attack and is coming back slowly and is confused. Okay. But to say that a president should be removed under 25 simply because he is crooked, strange, and weird, that's a stretch. That probably was not contemplated by the Constitution. But in this book, Pompeo sounded out some of the other cabinet. But then there was turnover in the cabinet. Obviously, a thing like that gets around. It's impossible to keep secret. But there was obviously turmoil in that cabinet while Trump was in office. I mean, think of the couple of things that he did. With Kim Jong-un, he calls him Little Rocket Man. Kim Jong-un kidnaps the UVA student, tortures him for a year, kills him, and sends him back to his parents. Trump caves on that one. He betrayed the Kurds. But ultimately, unfortunately, he stayed in the presidency.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Michigan beat Washington 34-13 for the National College Football title. The Wolverines undeterred by suspensions and a sign-stealing case. Alaska Airlines and United say they found loose hardware in some side panels in the same model of Boeing 737 jetliner grounded. The Pentagon's ordered a review on the failure to tell the White House and Congress that the defense secretary transferred his authority to a deputy. Secretary Lloyd Austin went to the hospital and is still there a week later. White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby.
We'll take a look at process and procedure here try to learn from this experience, and if there's some changes that need to be made in terms of process and procedure, we'll do that.
A Fort Worth, Texas hotel explosion. About 20 people hurt. Gas leak suspected. Blocks away, David Brimer.
I was laying in bed watching Sopranos, and then the wall shook, and then my bed shook strong.
This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It doesn't happen a lot in Wisconsin, but it does happen. A small earthquake was detected near Crandon Sunday morning. The Crandon Fire Department posted on Facebook about reports of rumbling and shaking in the area. The U.S. Geological Survey confirms it was a 2.5 magnitude quake. Legislative Republicans are proposing a constitutional amendment to limit diversity efforts in Wisconsin. If passed by two consecutive terms of the legislature and approved by voters, local governments and state agencies would be banned from either discriminating against or giving preferential treatment to anyone on the basis of race, sex, ethnicity, or national origin. Last year, Republicans successfully got the universities of Wisconsin to reclassify dozens of DEI positions. Instead of diversity, equity, and inclusion, GOP lawmakers want all hiring decisions to be based on merit, fairness, and equality. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A little bit of light snow in the overnight with lows dropping to the lower 20s. East winds on the gusty side. Tuesday, snow chance. Accumulations around an inch or so. Blustery northeast winds up around 25 with highs in the lower 30s. Right now it's 28.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on The Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 AM. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Donald Trump's behavior.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to resume our discussion that was cut off with Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Andrew, keep describing what's on your mind today. I think you were going in a good direction.
I was talking about Sheldon Whitehouse, Rhode Island Senator, and Dick Durbin, who's on the Judiciary Committee. And I didn't bring up Chuckie Schumer. I didn't bring up the two senators from Michigan here. Why are we voting for these people? I will be a lifelong Democrat. I've always been. But I ask myself, why am I voting for them? They don't even talk about these issues. I'm not hearing word one out of them about going after your senator from Wisconsin. This is, I don't know. Sheldon, you're doing a good job watching, you know, the ripoffs and whatever that's going on. But give me a break. If we don't have a democracy, the ripoffs don't matter. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I want to say something in defense of our senators. The people you mentioned are all excellent senators. And I'm not talking about Ron Johnson. I'm talking about Durbin, Whitehead, Chuck Schumer, and so on. But there are certain things you can do. If you want to expel somebody from the Senate, it's going to take 2/3. There's no way that you're going to get 51 Democratic votes and another 16 Republican votes. The way to do Ron Johnson is to prosecute him for the fake elector scheme. He had two sets of fake electors in his pocket, Michigan and Wisconsin. And then he did everything he could to pass them on to Mike Pence. And then he was prepared to vote that there was doubt. And then when he realized that all hell had broken loose and the insurrection was going on and he smelled the danger, it wasn't that it was principle. He smelled the danger. Let me throw out a couple of other things. And we've talked about this in the distant past, but not recently. In 2016, when he ran against Russ Feingold, two billionaires contributed $20 million to groups that were supporting Ron Johnson. $20 million. That's because of Citizens United, and it's because Clarence Thomas cast the deciding vote 5-4 and have been taking money from the people who were behind that particular case. Now, the minute that that money was apparent, Ron Johnson spearheaded a tax bill, and it saved those billionaires about $79 million in 2018, and it's going to save them about $500 million, half a billion dollars in taxes over the 8-year life of the statute. Now, you know, at some point when you're campaigning against a guy like Ron Johnson, these are the issues that matter. The fake electors are the issues that matter. The money from these billionaires are issues that matter. You know, the fact of the matter is small, aesthetically displeasing things, going to Moscow, Russia on July 4, 2018 and hanging out with Putin's boys 4 years after they had invaded and tortured and murdered people in Crimea. What the hell is he doing over there? What's this all about? The fake electors, the attack on democracy. As the chairman of the subcommittee on Homeland Security, when the Republicans had the majority in the Senate, he was asked, do you trust the FBI and the CIA? Our FBI and CIA. And he said, no, I don't. He parroted Trump. He tries to get, he's Trump's mini-me is what he is. And he has sold out the United States. And none of this came out effectively in the last Senate campaign. So the guy's reelected in 22. He's going to be in there until 2028. A lot of people lining up, sniffing around. But, hey, guess what, guys? It's almost 5 years away. And it's too late, in my opinion. Well, let's talk about who's going to be on the presidential ballot. Donald Trump just appealed. He just appealed the Maine kicking him off the ballot. And the way it works in Maine, you know, a lot of people said, well, Matt, you know, it is sort of weird that just the Secretary of State can do it. Secretary of State can't do it by herself. She does it, required to. The 14th Amendment requires it. But then it goes up to the Court of Appeals and the Maine Supreme Court, and they'll be in the same position as the Colorado Supreme Court, and I think they will kick him off. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Reminder Day, Wisco Paul.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Very quickly on the one subject, the only reason Johnson became senator of this state again is because, I'm sorry, the Democratic Party ran a horrible campaign against him. And I'm just going to leave that one die. But I want to say this. I get disgusted at times with the Democratic left, and I don't have any time for the Republican right. That being said, one thing about the Democratic left is they usually will come on board with something that's good for the country. The Republican right will not do that. And I'm very fearful of that coming up here because there's a lot on the line. And I feel sorry for the people of Ukraine. But the scariest thing is Trump endorsed the other Johnson. So I don't know how much of his ear Johnson gets at Trump. But if it's up to Trump, he'll take him. He'll do anything to take Biden down. And that's my fear there. How much does Johnson listen to Trump? Because he actually was endorsed by him to be Speaker. And that's a very scary proposition here because, like I said, Trump knows that if he doesn't become president, he's probably going to go down for something. Because you can't tell me that I think the special investigators got the goods on him anyway. But Trump was involved in probably selling military secrets or who knows. Hey, the guy does not care about anybody but himself is what I'm trying to say. But I'm very weary of what's coming down here with the next budget. And with that, thanks for listening to me. And thanks for your show, man.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. And you raised a mouthful, believe me, and I want to hit a couple of those points. First of all, when you talk about he's going down on certain things, remember with the classified documents that he leaked to our enemies, and you can't say that he didn't leak them to our enemies. He has them in a bathroom. He has them in a dressing room. He has them in a supply closet. He has them lying around. And then suddenly what? The year after that, our agents get captured and killed from our enemies. You don't think that they have people swarming all over Mar-a-Lago? They had a spy who he invited to dinner. Remember that woman? It was disclosed by a Pennsylvania newspaper. I don't know who all the maids are down there, the cooks, the waiters who can just wander by a supply room with no lock on it and help themselves to some classified documents. Hey, he even talked to an Australian billionaire and told him how close our submarines can get to a Chinese submarine without being detected. He revealed aspects of our radar and sonar and our protections against them that were highly, highly classified. He showed a document to someone else about our plans to attack Iran. Now, are we going to attack Iran? I hope not. We don't. So far, we haven't had to. But it would be naive to think that our CIA and our Defense Department don't have detailed plans, if necessary, only if necessary, for attacking any country, especially Russia, China, Iran, all that. But to even mention that, and to show that plan to some joker who happened to be a friend of his, this guy does not care about the United States. He flat out doesn't care about the United States. And you talk about Ron Johnson, you're right. These issues were not raised in the campaign. And yeah, I do at times get pretty frosted about some of the people on the left of our party, but when it comes to the Republican Party. You talk about Mike Johnson. You're talking about the Speaker, Mike Johnson, whom Trump endorsed. Let me tell you my concern. What if he makes Mike Johnson his vice president, presidential nominee? What if the ticket going in is Trump and Johnson, a young guy with shiny eyes, no one knows anything about him? Do I want a guy with no bank account as vice president of the United States? With a guy who weighs 300, 400 pounds and, you know, I don't know how long he's going to live. Are you kidding me? I don't want Sarah Palin either. And so, look, these are perilous times. And the way to handle this is get behind Joe Biden. Joe Biden is one of the best Democrats we've had in my lifetime. And I can't think of a president who is more suited with foreign policy expertise than Joe Biden. One of the lions. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling. Gene, what's in your mind today?
Well, great show and great callers, as usual. You know, you and I are of different ages than, you know, the young people. And you have military experience. I have different experiences. And I'll be 69 on the 17th. I'm getting old, Matt.
And, you know, happy birthday.
Yeah, really. Anyway, so, you know, we come from different places. And I have to say something that's been bugging me for a really long time. So I'm going to just put it out there. And you know I got the greatest respect for you and all you do. But I do support the young Democrats, the progressives, because they are from a different place. I mean, I've learned so much from them, young people. I mean, come on, look at how much they got to pay to go to college. Never in my life could I ever go to college if I was in the same situation as I was years ago. You know, and then the debt, you know, where they got their loans. We were protected with our loans. Those young people are not protected with their loans. How can they ever buy a house? How, you know, and even housing prices, costs of health care, all of these issues. And then, and I still keep thinking of when Trump took those kids away from their parents and stuck them in, you know, in those dog fencing areas, you know, away from their mamas and their daddies. You know, many of them still haven't been reunited with their parents. Now, you know, those people were down there on their own fighting for them young kids. So I got to say, they may not, and when it counts, like Wisco Paul said, they come and they unite for our country, and they care about our country. And I know maybe sometimes they look a little differently at things. You know, I don't like Netanyahu. I'm going to say that right now. But they are our allies. We saw what happened, and we have to help protect. So, man, I just had to get that out there because it bothers me, because I do think they care about our country, where I don't think those Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, or any of them give one iota about our country. They're self-centered, just like Trump. All they care about is themselves. And Trump wanted military parades for himself, even when he was in office. We need to think about that guy is scary, and multinational corporations love a man like Trump and give a lot of money to him. So anyways, lots to think about there, right, folks, because we got to care about our country and fight for it. Thank you very much, Matt. I didn't mean to go on and on, but those.
No, thank you, Gene. I love your calls always. I want to clear one thing up right now. The young people are the future of our party. The people that I'm talking about, and maybe Wisco Paul was talking about, are people on the extreme left who are anti-Semites, who hate Israel, who say, and they're on the right also. Marjorie Taylor Greene is the same and worse. But I'm talking about Ilhan Omar. I'm talking about Rashida Tlaib, and I'm talking about Jamila Priyapal. They said Israel is a racist state. They say Palestine should be free from the river to the sea to eliminate Israel. I'm tired of that kind of stuff. We're not going to permit anti-Semitism in the Democratic Party. Now, I know that that's not what you meant and I meant. I think you and I are on the same page. And when I was chairman of the party, I had a special relationship with the young Dems. And I think that I had a lot of friends among the young Dems. I agree with you that young people are the future of the party. Coming up, I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right away. But coming up, who's going to be on the Wisconsin ballot? And I'll tell you.
Down, down, and the flames went higher.
And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I wanted everyone to know, and I had an interview of me on my friend Todd Albo's show yesterday about it, that one of the things I enjoy doing besides this show, which I love doing, love the callers. The callers make the show. The callers in this show are really my co-hosts, my interviewees, and they are the guts of the show. But the other thing I like doing is writing. And I have published 3 novels and a work of nonfiction. And I want to mention that to you because from time to time I have people say to me, Matt, you know, I really enjoy the things that you say on the air. And I enjoy your callers' questions and your responses. And have you written anything that would set out maybe in greater detail some of the things you think about these subjects? So I want to respond to that. My latest novel, it's called The Court of Last Resort, and it was published at the end of last week. It's very current, The Court of Last Resort by Matthew Flynn. Just so you know, there's another book with the same title. So if you go on Amazon or wherever books are sold, you go on Barnes & Noble, any of them, make sure you have the one that's written by Flynn. But in any event, The Court of Last Resort is based on my experiences, very loosely on my experiences, being a law clerk on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals and my views on a lot of legal subjects. It's a thriller, though. And even though I dedicate it to the judges of the Seventh Circuit and my fellow law clerks, it involves a judge who is a former Marine commando. And he's sitting on the bench and he demands perfect justice in his court. And occasionally very bad people get acquitted or slip out. But he finally says, I've had enough of this. And then he goes out after him at night and he executes them. Now, I want it clear that the judge that I clerk for didn't do that, just so we're very clear. But I think it's a good read. And at the end, when a Supreme Court justice, a corrupt Supreme Court justice, is executed and an innocent man is tried for the murder, this judge tries to get him acquitted, is unsuccessful, and that sets up the end of the book, the resolution of the book. It's a heavy read, but you will get out of it if you enjoy reading this kind of thing. My experience is I frequently talk about legal subjects on this show. And you will see some legal subjects that you were probably, unless you're a lawyer, not familiar with. Another novel that I've written is called China Code. And it's a novel about a young math genius who's pursued by the Chinese Communist Party, by agents, because he has developed an algorithm that breaks their codes. And he's assigned a CIA agent, a woman, is very, very good, but she's has a hard time making sure they don't kill him. And so she enlists the Latino and African-American gangs of Milwaukee to stand with them and protect them. It's kind of an interesting book. And there's also a lot of foreign policy issues having to do with the Pacific and having to do with the United States and conflicts in our government. Another novel that I've written is called Milwaukee Jihad. And that is about ISIS. And it's somewhat based on the 9/11. They come to Washington to blow up the Capitol during the State of the Union. And the same math genius figures out their code. The same CIA agent protects him. And, you know, spoiler alert, let's just put it this way, the Capitol doesn't get blown up. I've also written a work of nonfiction, and it's called Confessions of a Church Lawyer in Defense of Christianity. Now, that's a subject that is obviously quite controversial, and it occurred to me the core of our Constitution, the most important thing in our Constitution, is a separation of church and state in the First Amendment. And I stand up for that vigorously in this. And it's a perspective on religion and on Christianity from the perspective of somebody who's a Democrat and who is not ideological about it, but just using my reason, pointing out the value of things like due process, equal protection, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, that kind of thing, which owe their origin to our Constitution, but which our Constitution was drafted by people from a Judeo-Christian tradition who wrote themselves out of government, but nevertheless had the insight to come up with these terrific principles. So if you're interested in any of those subjects, you might get a kick out of any one of these books. But the most recent one is The Court of Last Resort. And if you're on a plane ride or you're looking for something to read, you might find it very, very interesting. Okay, we're coming up to the end of the show. There's one other subject I do want to talk to, and that is a very, very important letter that Senator Blumenthal of Connecticut has written to Chief Justice Roberts. And he's urged him in the strongest terms to ask that Justice Clarence Thomas recuse himself and step down from this immunity suit involving Trump. And the reason is that Ginny Thomas, the wife of the justice, was at the insurrection on January 6th. She was at the rally. I don't believe she went into the Capitol, but she has also been hired over the various years by the people that you know about, the Harlan Crow types, not necessarily him, but others, the Heritage Foundation, people like Leonard Leo. And there's no doubt how Thomas is going to vote on anything having to do with the Republican Party and Trump. But here it's so bald and so obvious that Blumenthal makes the argument, and I think it's a good argument, that the Chief Justice and the other justices have got to get together and say to Thomas, "You, for the good of the court, you've got to step down on this one." The sad thing is, and I'll leave it with this, if he doesn't, there is no statute or no rule that permits them to force him. We've had a great show. Great callers, as always. Happy holidays to everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to everybody. Matt Flynn Direct will be back right after the holiday. And Matt Flynn Direct, which is me, is signing off for today. Thank you.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK, the Civic Media Network of Radio. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is The Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson,
Monday nights at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.